Well, good, beautiful. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the word that you've given to us, the deliverance that you have wrought in our lives through Christ Jesus, our Lord. For all of your love and all of your blessings and everything that you have done, my God, we're so grateful and thankful. Thank you for your children, Father, all around the world, and I especially ask you to take care of those that are being persecuted. I ask you for those that are in need, my God, for your help in their lives. And for those who are sick, Father, and especially we ask you for Iris and for Mimi, I thank you, my God, for just helping them and delivering them. Thank you, my God, for the miracles that are necessary, and thank you for your support. Supplying them, Father. So I give these things to you, Lord. I thank you for this great day. Thank you for all your people online and those that are here now. And I just thank you for a wonderful time together in your word. And I love you and I praise you. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. So let's, I wanted to do something. Go to Ephesians, please. Chapter 6. Title of this teaching today is Popular Error and Unpopular Truths, Part 2. I like that. I didn't have to think so hard about the title. Ephesians. I did Part 1 last week and had a wonderful time up in Rhode Island. Mary is with Zach and Christine and Eliana upstate. And they're having a nice time. Mary's online this morning. So I would like to take you to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. And finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You got to put on the armor in order to stand against the craziness of the devil, the wiles of the devil, all his plans, all of his doings. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. It's a spiritual battle. The things that are going on around us are they're happening because of spiritual decisions that the adversary makes. And the plans that he has. You know, normal people, you know what normal people do? They enjoy their day. They work hard. They put food on their table. They take care of their home. And they're just kind, nice, help one another out once in a while, mind your own business. That's sort of like normal, everyday folks. It's, and then you have the ones who are agitated by spirit. All right. And you've seen a lot of that. You got a lot of people in bondage because of all kinds of addiction, craziness, you know, all kinds of different things. These are spiritual casualties. These are individuals, yes, they've allowed it, but they've also been manipulated. And some of them wanted it, and others have just become victims of what's going on in the world. We're all victims of being the children of Adam, right? We are victims because he brought into the world death and sickness. So I don't know anybody who's never been sick. But the point is, I didn't ask for it. I inherited it from the first man. and because of the sin that he committed. That's why God sent our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to deliver us. That is what we preach to people. That is what we teach them and preach to them. We preach that there is a Savior, and that that Savior has paid the price. And that's why we're going to have eternal life. It's not because of anything that you and I did. We believed. We accepted that truth. Well, let's go back here. It says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, stand. And then the armor is explained to us. All the parts of the armor is the word of God. When you put on this armor, which is what's recorded in the scripture, then you are might be able to stand in the wicked day. And it is a spiritual battle. Last week, I went to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I'll take you there one more time. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I just wanted to remind you with these major verses. See, the battle is spiritual, and the armor that we have to put on is God's word. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, it makes known again, it says in verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. This is how it's done. Our weapons are not physical, all right? But they are, they're not carnal, they're not physical, but to the mighty, our weapons are mighty through the pulling down of these strongholds, and every and casting down imaginations and every high thing, anything, but especially the imaginations, the thoughts, the things people dream up, and that spirits dream up for people to proceed and go forward with. You see what I mean? So we cast down those imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and we bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Go to Mark. Chapter 1. I would like to look at the nature of Jesus Christ's ministry. Hey, ladies. So the nature of Jesus Christ's ministry, what I want to look at now. Mark chapter 1, verse 21, we're going to start. And hey, Robert. And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day, he entered into the synagogue and taught. This is the beginning of our Lord's ministry. He went in and he taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine. And he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. I want you to look at the qualities of what our Lord did. He went in and, first of all, he's teaching. He's teaching with authority, not like other people taught at the time. And there was there in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out. You know, the interesting thing is that the spirit, the unclean spirit that was in this man, the guy was sitting in church. He was sitting in the synagogue. Okay. There's an awful lot of people like that, I think, that are casualties and in the churches that we attend now. They got problems. You know, and again, this affliction of being harassed or possessed, they call it, or whatever, by spirits, it is not unusual. The same number of spirits that have been floating around since the beginning, the one-third of the angels that were cast out of heaven, with the exception of those that were locked up because of the flood, are still floating around. All right? They're still out there, and they're still standing against the true God and against his work. All right? So this guy was sitting in the synagogue while Jesus was teaching. And then it says, verse 23, and he was in the synagogue, a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out in the middle of the fellows, in the middle of the teaching, and saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us?" Now, is this the guy talking or the spirit? This is the spirit talking. "I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." So I want you to notice this. Jesus teaches and he casts out spirits, right? He's not dealing with the man that yelled out. He's dealing with the spirit in the man. Jesus dealt with the spirit, not with the people when they had spirits. The spirit says, "Hey, I know who you are." Nobody else in that synagogue knew who he was. So the spiritual reality of it is that these spirits are in people. They're in people who probably live very good lives. I mean, if you're a Jew, you're certainly living better as far as your handling your affairs, better than most of the people in America today. You know, because you're following the law. If you didn't, you know, you would be an outcast for sure. So I can't say that his behavior was any less religious than the rest of the people. He just had the spirit, and the spirit knew who Jesus was, and the spirit spoke up, and the spirit says, "Why are you, what, you here to torment me?" You know? And the Lord talked to the spirit and said, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." And when the unclean spirit had torn him, he cried with a loud voice and came out of him. And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority command he, even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him." And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the regions and about Galilee. Go to verse 32. "And at even when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils." You know, possession is a terrible word because it means, it sort of gives you the effect of ownership. And it's not ownership. You can have a person who's got a demon, and that only affects one piece of their life. One piece of their life. It doesn't control the entire person. You know, hatred. Alcoholism, addiction of different kinds, all right? Those types of, it's one aspect. They may be functioning completely normally in their family and everything else, day in and day out and at the job. But the spirit is taunting them and bothering and tormenting them in this area. Some areas are bigger than others, but the point is, you know, it's not I own you. So I said, I just read 32. It's possessed with devils, and all the city was gathered together at the door, and he healed many that were sick and divers diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. You know, this is like a regular thing with the Lord and how he handled his ministry. I mean, speaking the word, healing people, and casting out devils are absolutely norm, the normal in our Lord's ministry. And you know what? I don't see it as the normal in the Christian church. So you got to ask yourself, you know, that's why the title of the teaching, you know, popular error as opposed to unpopular truth. So we read something like this and then we get, wow, I don't see much of this in the church. It ought to make you a little uncomfortable. It ought to make you a little uncomfortable. I mean, I've seen it in the ministry as a whole over all the years, but not so much on a regular basis. You know, and that's not my job to figure out why and what and how and all the rest of that. What is my job is to read the scripture and expect the things that are here to be in my life and yours. Go to we're still in chapter 1 here. Verse 39. So it says, well, verse 38, and he said unto them, let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. This is the reason he came, and the reason he's here, and he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee, and he cast out devils. They're in the synagogues. You know, it's where would the adversary want most of his damage to be done? Amongst God's children, amongst the people that love him the most. That's where he wants it to be done. And so every place he goes in a synagogue, he's casting out these spirits. Just an observation. Look at Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, verse 7. And as you go, he's sending out his disciples. It says, and as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of God is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead. Cast out devils, freely you have received, freely give. That is, he, the Lord Jesus Christ, not only did it himself, but he sent his people out and gave them the authority to do the same. Just keep it in mind that he give, do you have God in Christ in you? Is there any place that you've read in the scripture where you don't have this authority or this ability or power? And I can't find a place that takes it away. Not in my reading. Let me know if you find a place. You know? I've seen a lot of people healed, but I've also seen a lot of people not healed at different times. I've seen a lot of prayers answered, and I've also seen people who are waiting years to get this answered. And, you know, whether they get it answered or not, that's between them and God. You know, God isn't compelled to do anything for you. You don't make him a cop work. He does what he does because of his mercy and because of his love. It's his choice. You know, when we'll see this as we go on here. Jesus Christ was his only begotten son. He is the Messiah. And what God is working within him is this. I want this to be spectacular because I want you to realize that he's the Messiah. And every place he goes, it's like a machine gun spiritually going off. Ba-boom, ba-boom, ba-boom. The word's being preached. The spirits are coming out. People are being healed. And it's to prove that he is the Messiah. But you still watch it with his disciples later on in the first century and even today in our church. You know, do I want to see more of it? Yeah. But is it all my choice? No, it's not all my choice. It's God working within you. Not you making God work. Point is, I want to be ready. Go to Mark 16. Just a few more examples of what our Lord taught, what he expected, and what he said. In verse 15, it says, "And he said unto them, Go you into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature." Richie and I were talking at breakfast. This is your job. This is the purpose of your life since you've been born again of God's Spirit. You have got the ministry of reconciliation, and this is your profession. This is your job. This is your major reason that God has still got us here. And I pray that we get the job done so the Lord can come back. I don't know when that'll be. It may be, who knows, in our lifetime. It might be 500 years from now. Who knows? No one knows except the Father. But the point is, my job is to make sure that I preached and I get the message out to folks. That's the job. And 15 again. And he said unto them, Go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. It's funny how that's the first one. You know, I just thought it's interesting. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. And they shall take up serpents. And really, if they shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. For they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So the Lord, when he had spoken, he said unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God. When the Lord is done saying, he left. And he's sitting right now, our Lord, alive, sitting on the right hand of the throne of God. And when God gives him a direction to deal with the church, and he is the one who is the head of the body, the believers, the church. And I want to ask the church, I want to ask you all and anybody else who ever hears this. Does the ministry that Jesus gave look like the one we got now? That's a shame. Now, I don't care how long you've been around. I don't care, you know, how far you've come in your Christian life. The point is, I don't think the church on a whole is close. So I wouldn't be too self-righteous about things. I wouldn't be too puffed up about much of anything. I wouldn't think you know a heck of a lot or God's really work. You know, yeah, I no doubt that God works within his people, blesses, helps, and everything else. I've seen it. I've seen it in your lives. I've seen it in mine. But we are not in the same neighborhood when it comes to what his ministry and what his command was compared to what's going on now. Let's look at Luke chapter 10. It's an inconvenient little truth, isn't it? And yet, Luke chapter 10, verse 1. These things, and after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face unto every city and place, whither he himself would come. He sent out 70 people two by two, and he sent them to all the towns that he was going to go to. So, in other words, this is a planned action. This is strategic. He's going, I'm planning on going there. I want you guys to go first. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray you therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into this harvest, into his harvest. I think that's one of the things that we ought to add to our prayer life on a regular basis. Okay? If this is one thing that the Lord says, I want you to go out, I'm sending you two by two to hold forth the gospel. It's going to talk more about it. But he says to them, pray to God for him to send more. Go your way. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Sounds a little scary. Carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes nor and salute no man by the way. Don't get distracted on your way to your place. So if you're walking down the road, so here's what the devil would do, right? Oh, the Lord sent me to Damascus over here. Let's just pick a spot that I can remember. He's sending me to Damascus. So I'm walking the 50 miles or whatever it is to Damascus. And this is a command. This is urgent. And then all of a sudden, there's a little old lady. Hey, you know, boys, I need your help. Okay, so what do you do? What? Don't get distracted. You know, and you can see that kind of thing would come up, series of things, or there'd be somebody else. Oh, are you Jesus' disciples? Come, tell me about the Bible. Tell me about what he's doing. Pray for me. You didn't get to your job yet. See, you know this in life, right? If you're heading to the work and you got to punch in on the clock, you got to show up, you don't punch in until you get there first. So, I mean, if the Lord says to do something, then that's what you do. You see this all throughout the Old Testament. You do exactly what you're told, and then you see great and wonderful things happen. You mess around with it, you don't see nothing. And I think that's how the lack of seriousness of people with Scripture is one of the reasons that there's great weakness spiritually in the church. If you're not real serious about exactly what's been spoken and doing exactly what it says, then there's weakness in the church itself. It's just one of those little uncomfortable truths. Look at, keep going here. Verse 4, he says, don't bring anything with you. Salute nobody by the way. And into whatsoever house you enter, first say, peace be on this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn to you again. That's pretty, I don't think a lot of people think about that. And in the same house, remain, eating and drinking such things as they give. For the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. Don't bounce around. These are very specific directions and instructions. You know? And then he says, verse 8, and unto whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you, eat such things as they set before you, and heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. But unto whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you not, go your ways out into the street of the same city. And even the very dust of your city, which cleaves to us, we do wipe off against you, notwithstanding. But you sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable in the day of Sodom than for you. Than for that city. Woe unto thee, Chorazin. Woe unto thee, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works that had been done in Tyre and Sidon, which had been done in you, they had a great while ago repented and sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which are exalted to heaven, shall be thrust down to hell. He that heareth you hears me. You know, when you are a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ and you are speaking the gospel and the word, it's the same as if the Lord was speaking to them. And if they hear, you know, I know people look at the outward appearance. You know, you get a real rough guy and you're not expecting a real sweet fellow. You get a real pretty girl and you're not really expecting, an unpleasant thing to come out of their mouth. You know, people got these... You know, we're affected by our surroundings. We're affected by what things look like. But the truth of the matter is, a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ that speaks the word has got the same exact empowerment and the same exact result. If he was here, they would hear the same words, or they reject the same words. And it's not about you. It's not about you. It's not about you. And it's not about you. Can we get over that? Oh, man, I used to all the time. It says this, I think, in Timothy also. It says this very plainly. It's, you know, it says it in the Gospel of John, it says it in Timothy. It's always spiritual. You're on a mission from God. He has given you the words to speak. And if you speak them, it is a spiritual battle. And those words are like the sword of the Spirit. It's the sword of the Spirit. And they have the power. He that hears you hears me, and he that despises you despises me. And he that despises me despises him that sent me. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. He gives them the power to do it. What do? They go out, and the devils are subject. You know, there are one third of the host of heaven is here on earth. Want to talk about extraterrestrials? They're not terrestrial, but they are here. So they were very excited, you know, and this is kind of unique because, you know, of all the things in the Old Testament, there's healings in the Old Testament, there's miracles in the Old Testament. There is almost no casting out of spirits in the Old Testament. This is a brand new thing. And they are very excited about it. And there's no reason not to be. So the Lord says to him, verse 18, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fallen from heaven. The Lord was very happy. He was really, it was like, I saw the devil fallen from heaven like lightning, man. He was just, you were working stuff out there. You were really doing your job. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now, if the Lord says this, then is it true? Yeah, if you got faith, then it works. If you don't, it don't. You know? I mean, I'm trying to be very plain here. I want you to let the Bible confront your own head. If Jesus tells you this in the Word, if God has made it known to you through Scripture, then you either believe it or you don't. But it doesn't change the fact that it's the will of the Lord or it's the power of God. And that's sometimes, you know, just how I read it. And kick myself and put myself in another little place, another gear, a longing, a desire to see things that, hey, you know, I'm not thinking about this too often. I'm not thinking about, you know, how many spirits are out there and I'm expecting to meet them. And you don't need to be afraid. Nothing will hurt you. There's no spirit that can stand against God in Christ. And they live within you. This ain't a movie. Verse 20. Notwithstanding. It is notwithstanding in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent and has revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemeth good in thy sight. And all things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knows who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he whom the Son will reveal him. Oh, Lord, I'm so grateful that you let these people do what they're doing, these babes. These are unimpressive people. They're not the wise and the prudent. They're regular folks. And they're watching the power of God in their lives because they believe the words that the Lord spoke. They believe those words and they do what he said. Look at Acts chapter 8. This didn't quit. That's just, I know I'm preaching to the choir here, but that's all right. There might be new people in the choir. Acts chapter 8. Do you really think that Samaria is any different than Manhattan? Do you think that Queens is any different than Samaria? Or I'm just picking the neighborhoods we live in, or Freeport, or Levittown, or the Bronx, or any place. I mean, do you really think that it's super different? I mean, you can certainly see greater wealth and greater poverty in Manhattan, Queens, the Bronx. You can see, but every house and every neighborhood has got spiritual casualties. Broken homes, broken marriages, children that are unruly, disobey. All right, drugs, alcohol, sex, craziness, hatred. These are spiritual casualties. And it's all spirit-induced. We got plenty of places. All you have to do is wait on God to tell you exactly what to do and how to do it. And if you're up for it, he will. I mean, he ain't going to ever make you do anything. See, this is the difference. God don't wake you up and, not unless you're waking up and saying, Lord, what do you got for me? He don't make you do anything. He don't make you wake up. He don't make you open your eyes. He don't make you hear. You have to want. You have to see what's, hey, this is possible. This is in front of me. Lord, I want to be able to do it the way the Lord told me to do it. Please help me. Show me. Teach me. Guide me. You really want it? You'll see it. If it's so far in the back of your mind, the world's got you so busy, all you're thinking about is work, family, stuff, cars, flat tires. If that's all that's on your mind, then that's what's on your mind. I mean, we all got to do that stuff too, right? But it don't have to be the, I'll go to work Well, every day I went to work painting or, you know, bidding on cars or hustling. Every day I went to work, it was for my family. It wasn't for work. Now, every time I wake up in the day, I am the Lord's servant. No matter what I'm doing. And I want to be more cognizant of it. Remember that 2 Corinthians 10? We're casting down every imagination and high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And bring into captivity. You got to do that. You got to grab this thing by the horns. You bring it into captivity. So it's a great truth. Yeah. We are simple people. We have supernatural Father, supernatural ability. And we can do what he says we can do. All we have to do is be willing. Like you have the ability to pray, right? I'll be just a little bit more. I'll beat this to death. You got the ability to pray, but you didn't pray 10 minutes ago. Why? Because you didn't want to. You pray right now while I'm talking to you. You can do that. You can pray and listen at the same time. These are your decisions, that things to do. So let's one more. Acts chapter 8, I said. Here's a great one. Start in verse 5. You know, Philip is the only guy in the Bible that's called an evangelist. There's nobody else given the title in the entire book but Philip. So I guess if you really want to learn how to be an evangelist, it would be a good idea to follow what he did. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria, and he preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. You know how he got a crowd around him? He did miracles first. That's how the crowd showed up, that he could preach to them. It's definitely, I think Acts chapter 5 says it is the advertisement for the gospel. For unclean spirits crying with loud voices came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken in palsies and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. You know, when God's word is preached, when deliverance is received, and spirits are a big part of it, there's great joy. And then it says, and there was a certain man named Simon, which before time in the same city used sorceries and bewitched the people of Samaria. See, he was one of the witches, sorcerers. You know, they're real. You know that? These people are real, and they're very common in our society. In fact, they got storefronts, some of them. Okay? I mean, you got it in your newspaper every day where you get to see your horoscope, and you get the signs of the zodiac, and everybody plays with those. Oh, what sign are you? It's all devil spirit stuff. It's all influence. It's all spirit, and it's powerful. It's not just a little innocent, little stupid thing. Well, anyhow, this guy bewitched a city. He wasn't just in his storefront. He was powerful enough and evil enough and influential spiritually enough to bewitch the city, the people of that city, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed. Everybody in the town, listen to this. We got people on TV, I think, you know, doing seances and stuff. To whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. And to him they all hath regard, because that of a long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip's preaching and the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. And Simon himself also believed. He believed also. See, you know, just because somebody's got a spirit, they've allowed this in and they operate a spirit. I used to work for a witch. She was the manager of the Lowe's Triborough Theater on Steinway Street. And she was a nice little old lady. I mean, there was nothing unusual about this little old lady. She was the manager there, and bless her heart, she taught us being me and three or four of my friends. She would sit us down around the table, and she would tell us we could do things that we wouldn't believe. And we all just were sitting there having our beer at the break. And yep, she says, just put your hands on the table, kids. And she taught us to levitate that table. Here we are, we're sitting in the beer garden, Hofbräu, Steinway Street, don't know the address anymore, with our hands on a table and the things coming up off the floor. She was a little old lady. Sweet thing, too. Nice, a little rough on the edges. But she was 60. We were like 18. She was about like 5'2", and you know, I mean, it was, you would never. It had nothing to do with the moods. But then she would teach us, and she would show us, and she would groom us, and that was the whole thing. Oh, let me show you something special and you'll get interested. That's exactly what Philip walked into town and started doing miracles so people could hear and get interested. It's the same spiritual tactic, isn't it? Same tactic. See, the two gods both want your worship. They both want your attention. One promises you the truth, the other one a lie. People choose. So anyhow, old Simon, he wanted to believe also. And Simon himself, verse 13, believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondering, beholding the miracles and the signs which were done. He was hanging out with Philip, not because he had a little motive here. He's hanging out with Philip, and Philip's letting him hang out with him. Philip's doing his job. He's doing the miracles. And old Simon wants in on the action. Now, when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that the Samaritans had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come, they prayed for them that they might receive into manifestation, lambano, the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of Jesus, name of the Lord Jesus. You know, to be immersed in Jesus' name, you're Christian. But you also have the ability to manifest the power that God has poured out, which is the Spirit, which when we read Ephesians chapter 1, it says that you receive that as soon as you believe. You get the whole package. But you don't manifest it until you choose to. And there was a reason. And that's why John came down. That's why Peter and John came down, because this was unusual. People are believing on the Lord. They're immersed in his name, but they're not manifest in the Spirit. That's unusual. The reason, you got all this spiritual stuff going on. So they prayed for him. They prayed for him. Verse 17, they laid their hands on them and they received, and that's the word lambano, into manifestation, into evidence, the Holy Spirit. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered the money. Hey, I want in. Saying, give me also this power, that on whosoever I lay my hands, I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Spirit. But Peter said unto him, oh, you know, that's not the way things are done. I'm sorry, you just misunderstood. No. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps he through thy heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. Then answered Simon and said, pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which thou hast spoken come upon me. And when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem. You think he prayed for him? Probably, but I can't tell you for sure. I know this. The man still had spiritual problems, even though he'd seen, he believed, but he still had spiritual problems. Bond of iniquity, bitterness, those are spiritual problems. And he really thought, again, it was about, oh, what's my next gig going to be? So I'm not sure. You know, I'm out of a job here. I can't bewitch these. I don't want to bewitch these people anymore. I've been outclassed by Philip. So I'm going to hang around with Philip and see what he does. He looked for his opportunity. Peter and John, wow, they received the Spirit manifestation. I want in on that. And you would think, oh, that's a great thing. Oh, that's a wonderful thing. What's in the heart? That kind of spiritual darkness in every city probably in the world. I don't make light of that. I really do believe that kind of thing exists in almost every corner of the planet, in every city in the world. Go to Deuteronomy. Just got another place that I would like to bring to your attention. These kinds of spirits. This kind is, how the heck does it get in the lives of the people? And why is it so prevalent? The devil is the god of this world. Says it very plain. It belongs to him. It was turned over to him with the sin of Adam. Adam was the god of this world, Adam and Eve. God gave them dominion. Well, you know what? Adam transferred it. And He told Jesus that much. I'll give everything to you. I'll give all these kingdoms to you and the wealth of them if you will fall down and worship me. So, you know, we're just like this little oasis of people who believe really something very inconvenient compared to the rest of the people out there. You know, there are popular errors. You know, this is the way the Christian church should be. And all the miracles and the signs and the wonders, they're gone with the apostles. You know, with the first century. I mean, this is what's taught. This is what's taught. And now they're querying even the basic things of Scripture. You know, major churches, Presbyterian, I call them major, I guess they're major. You got the Catholics, you got the Presbyterian, you got the Church of England, the Anglican Church. You probably got a bunch of different kinds, and they are shredding themselves apart because of accepting devilish doctrines. I mean, I had a hard enough time with some of those people besides the stuff that they're coming up with now. But go to Deuteronomy chapter 18. I'm going to read this to you from another version. I think it's the NIV. We're going to read verses 9 through 12. And I'm going to read this. I've had it printed out. It says, when you enter the land Yahweh your God will give you, do not learn to imitate the detestable ways of the nations there. Let no one be found among you who sacrifices their sons or daughters in the fire, who practices divination or sorcery, interprets omens, engages in witchcraft, or casts spells, or who is a medium or spiritualist, or who consults with the dead. Anyone who does these things is detestable to the Lord. That's a word you could taste, right? You're detestable. I don't think that there's a lot of room in there. So they are detestable to the Lord because of these same detestable practices. The Lord your God will drive out those nations before you. The people that were Israel got the land that they got because the nations that were living in these places practiced these things. That's what the Lord says. Whenever the nation goes and practices these kind, you are practicing and worshiping and working for the devil himself, God's enemy. You're going to get evicted. Anytime he chooses. Go to Jeremiah chapter 32. Just got a few more verses you want to stick around. Jeremiah 32. In verse 35, it says, and they built the high places of Baal, which are in the valley of the sons of Himon, to cast their sons and their daughters and to pass through the fire unto Moloch, which I commanded them not, neither came it into my mind that they should do this abomination to cause Judah to sin. You know, devil spirits can get and other these other gods, Moloch, right? Moloch, Dagon, there's a few of the others that are it's still around. Balaam is still around today. These rocks that people pray to. And, you know, it's the same spirit that gets people to pray to rocks and expect an answer. Now, that's pretty bizarre, wouldn't you think? But how many people do it? How many people do it? It's spirit that gets a human being to talk to a rock. And not only talk to the rock, but sacrifice your child. And we do that. We do it in a different way, but we do that in our society all the time. They're the god of selfishness and inconvenience. We got kids that we mutilate now because we think that, you know, and it's popular in the last couple of years. Did you ever think in your whole life, did you ever think this would come up? I mean, outside of these last few years, we got real doctors with a DR in front of their name doing this. We got real psychologists. I mean, we're talking about people who are supposed to be educated. We got moms and dads fighting against it and being for it. The mutilating a child forever. Because a kid says, I'm a little confused. I don't know about you. I'm still confused sometimes. Not about my sex, but about life. But when I was a kid, I was thinking about baseball, not girls. And they want kindergarten kids? You don't let a kindergarten kid go out and walk on the street on their own because they ain't bright enough not to get run over by a car. And you're going to let them make a decision and you're going to help support them in that. You know, God. You know, there's very few times, let me put it to you this way, there's very few times that Jesus Christ went to Old Testament on people. All right? Very few times. But when he said, when you mess with the little ones, it would be better for you that a stone be hung around your head and you be thrown into the lake than you harm one of these little ones that believes in me. And he said, it would be better for you if you were never born. Now that's Jesus as the servant. I can't imagine what it's going to be like when he comes back as King of Kings. You just don't do that. But these spirits, and that's what they are. And then it all sounds real nice. I mean, all of a sudden, 5 years. I guess this is 5 years since this has been pushed. So I can't remember it before. I mean, I remember that there was the odd outlier, but now we're talking about almost an organized, spiritual, let's sacrifice our children. God help us. Exodus 22. Verse 18. You know, they're unpopular truth, I guess. Stands against popular error. Exodus 22:18. It says, thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. Now, that's pretty plain, huh? Short, nice little verse. Don't give them a storefront. It said, don't suffer one. That's how serious it is. Whosoever lies with a beast shall surely be put to death. He that sacrifices unto any god save unto the Lord only, he shall be utterly destroyed. Now, why was it so harsh in the Old Testament? Well, first of all, these people didn't have spirit. But I want to tell you something. These are dangerous. This is like having a mass murderer living next door. You got a witch? This is danger. Don't even let them live. It wasn't mean. Not if you understand spiritual truth. Go to Leviticus 19. Okay, in verse, we're going to start here in verse 26, we'll read. Yeah. It says, you shall not eat anything with the blood therein. Blood. Neither shall you use enchantments or observe times. You know what enchantments are? You don't eat anything with the blood therein, and you don't use enchantments. You know, enchantments are sort of like sayings, like I don't know exactly how to put it. Huh? Any of you got? Might be, but I was thinking of something much more acceptable in our society. You know, it's like an incantation, a popular saying, stuff like that. You know, it's let's put the big white feather over the door because it gives off, or the crystal, a superstition, a crystal, a feather, a little basket. Let's just hang garlic. Keep the vampires away. You know, don't do it. Or the observing of times. Oh, the winter solstice, the summer solstice. You know, I mean, we have major super people did this centuries ago. They built these pyramids. They lined them up with the stars. They're all thinking that they got a cat god. All right? They got a cat god, and they build pyramids so that they can go into the afterlife. And they all lined it up with God's, the belt of Orion, and with God's stars out there, and they observe times and seasons and everything else. You know, don't do it. Leviticus 19:31, regard not them that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. When you seek after them, when you do look after these things, you know, familiar spirits are spirits that people go to seances to hear from the people who had died. And the familiar spirit was familiar with them and familiar with you. That's why you can get tricked into thinking that, oh, that's really Joey over there. Because they know all about you. They've been around for centuries. They live in the neighborhood. In Leviticus 20:26, it says, "And you shall be holy unto the Lord, unto me, for I, the Lord, am holy, and have served you from, and has severed you from other people, that you should be mine." And in Leviticus 20:27, it says, "A man also that hath a familiar spirit, or that is a wizard, shall surely be put to death, and you shall stone him with stones, and their blood be upon them." In other words, their crime is so that their blood is on them. It's not you. You didn't do anything wrong here. You did the right thing. Remember when in 1 Samuel, where it talks about Samuel went, he had put all the familiar spirits, all the people, the wizards, and those out of the kingdom. And then Samuel died. All right, Samuel died. And Saul needed information. And he was freaking out. So he said, "Go find me. Go find me a witch. Go find me one that's got a familiar spirit." And he finds this witch of Endor. And she's as dumb as a doornail until the spirit comes in her. And then says, "Oh, you're Saul." And then acts like and speaks like Samuel. And really, the things that are spoken are not that far off. But it says very plainly in 1 Chronicles chapter 10, verse 13, "So Saul died for his transgression which he committed against the Lord, even against the word of the Lord, which he kept not, and also for asking counsel of one that hath a familiar spirit to inquire of it." That's why he died. That's why he was killed. The work of the adversary is not, I think we're blind to it. I think we don't perceive it the same exact way. But if you really just read, consider what I've said here today, some of these verses, and just make a simple comparison. The same devil spirits that have been racking and ruining and causing major wars, World War I, when do we start numbering them? World War I, World War II, we're coming up to World War III here. The same devils that get people to mass murder each other, hate each other, are the same ones that are still running in the communities that we live and in the nations. And unless God's people take a stand for God and do the things of God, it's going to get worse and worse. You know, Jesus never said, he said, "I send you out as lambs amongst wolves." I don't think that that's ever going to change. But people who believe the word, the same power that the Lord spoke in, the same fear that every devil spirit had when he did speak, can be on your lips. Because you got God and Christ in you. There's nothing that's going to hurt you. There's nothing to be afraid of. That's just the truth. So that's what I wanted to share with you today. And oh.